Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Digital Switch. I cannot believe how fast this year has gone by. It's the beginning of November and we're quickly coming up on the holidays. So I hope that everyone is able to wind down their year on a positive note. Now, if you've been tuning in for the last couple weeks, you know we've been doing an ongoing series where we actually talk about different types of enterprise tools and how they solve significant data problems. So today we're going to be discussing BI tools, which are business intelligence tools, with our guest who has been on here many times before, Gangesh Ganesan, PeerNova's founder and CEO. So Gangesh, thank you for joining us again today.
Thanks, Sonia. Happy to be here.
Okay, so let's dive right in. Now, business intelligence is really the foundation for any short-term or long-term business strategy. And specifically, these BI tools help enterprises organize their data so it can be easily accessed and used more efficiently. So as a result, we know that business users can really gain insights quickly and accurately so they can make better informed business decisions, which is the final goal. So Gangesh, what else can you tell us about BI tools and what challenges are they trying to solve?
Thanks, Sonia. I think business intelligence tools are sort of a broad category of business applications and probably amongst the most popular end user tools, along with probably database tools. Everyone's heard of them. Everybody uses in the enterprise context some type of a BI tool. And what these tools are primarily are for allowing you to gain actionable insights from all the different enterprise data. Data may be spread across many different databases and applications within the enterprise. We've talked about some of this data fragmentation problem in the past episodes. What BI tools provide is a set of applications that allow end users to organize and visualize this data in an appropriate form. So typically in an enterprise, most users consume the different type of data in the form of reports, charts, dashboards, graphs, in these kinds of ways. These are typically produced by BI tools. So, to the first order, you could say that most enterprise users interact with all of their different, applications and data by visualizing and viewing some type of information. And typically they use BI tools for doing that.
So if we take an even closer look at what BI tools can do for enterprises, in my mind, each benefit really points to this goal of optimizing business processes so that firms can make better, more informed business decisions. And ultimately, that leads to an increase in revenue and happier clients. So what would you say are some of the additional benefits of BI tools? And maybe you can speak specifically towards the financial services industry.
Yeah, so if you were to take the financial services industry there's lots of different applications. They could be retail, they could be lending, mortgage type of applications. They could be core investment banking kind of applications, which involve trading of assets, front, middle, back office applications, clearance and settlement of payments. So lots and lots of different applications within the financial industry. And in all of these various business and operations folks are interested in knowing what exactly is happening in the business at a particular moment in time. So one application for BI might be looking at historical sales data and trying to see, what is the trend in sales data? Is there a downward trend, an upward trend, in this past, say month, quarter, year, whatever the time frame may be. So that could be one type of an application that might be enabled by BI tools. Another, in the case of an operations case, they might be interested in knowing client satisfaction rates in terms of, some very specific metrics associated with client satisfaction, number of clients who filed, complaints, number of clients, who have not renewed their subscription for some kind of a financial service. These may be things, which could be called as churn. So all of these might be the kind of metrics that someone in business operations may be more interested in. So whether it's in the financial industry or any other vertical, BI tools offer insights into the actual performance of the business based on all available data. So these are some typical examples. But there are other types of examples that come to mind. If I'm in the CFO or financial organization within the finance industry, the CFO might be or division controllers might be interested in metrics around the performance of a business, maybe interested in top line growth, maybe interested in expenses, how they've been trending over time. Some of these applications are typical usage of use cases for BI tools.
So we've talked about the challenges, the benefits, and then also some of the use cases. Let's dive a little deeper into the technology. So I want to talk a little bit about OLAP, which is the online analytical processing. Now, this is the technology behind many business intelligence applications. So can you go into more detail and describe for us the connection between OLAP and BI?
So, you know, the industry uses several terms, and some of these have been used in the industry for quite a while now. And OLAP is a very common terminology that's used. And as you mentioned, it stands for Online Analytic Processing. Contrasting it against OLTP, which means Online Transaction Processing, the industry contrasts a transactional application, which has got transactional semantics, what in the industry are called semantics, versus analytic applications, which are traditionally the OLAP applications. And, so one way to think of is that in BI, what you're really trying to do is take all of the available enterprise data and try and create some kind of an actionable insight. An actionable insight might be something as straightforward as a P&L statement. It might be a client report. It could be something like that. So what actually happens in the case of BI tools is that behind the scenes, there's some kind of a data warehouse or a database. And various aggregates or analytics are actually performed on that database to extract the relevant information and make them available so that they can be presented with the BI tools. So in order to create something like a P&L statement, you'd have to actually do a lot of complex queries across various different databases, construct those queries, and eventually create a report out of them, which is what the P&L report is. And traditionally, the technology behind this has been called OLAP. And itself, people found out that as the size of the data sets got larger and larger, and as you were connecting across many different data sets in creating business intelligence, not from one single database or data set, but across multiple different data sets, databases, and tables, this is computationally a very intensive task. And so OLAP technology was created and specialized in this area. Specifically, the technology that people talk a lot about is called the OLAP cube. And in a cube, what you're doing is pre-computing some of the key metrics that you're already interested in, so that in a BI tool, when you come in and present the query, rather than computing and trying to kind of create that report on the fly, the tool is already has constructed some reports or some summaries, for want of simplicity, some summaries have already been created, and this allows the system to respond much quicker to the user's queries. So these are some of the underlying sort of technology directions that people took when creating the original OLAP applications, which in turn powered the BI tools. As we'll talk about more in the show here, this technology has been transitioning quite a bit. But, simply put, OLAP is one of the technologies that is usually used to power something like a BI tool.
So you briefly mentioned we're also going to cover the evolution of BI tools. As enterprises and technologies have really transformed and grown, so have BI tools. They've changed and evolved as well. What started out as manual spreadsheets transformed to more dedicated tools like Hyperion to BI, Tableau, and now solutions like Looker and ThoughtSpot. Business users have really demanded change in how they work with and use their business intelligence tools. Can you talk to our audience about how BI tools have evolved from these desktop applications to what they are today, which is full-fledged SaaS tools?
Yeah, and this is a very broad topic. You mentioned some of the, you know, sort of key technology vendors and product vendors within this space. But as you can kind of imagine, with the advent of computer technology, very easily, obviously reporting being one of the first applications that were being performed by early software systems, BI tools have always been around. In sort of the BI terminology itself, probably, you know, got popularized in the late 80s timeframe. So it's a fairly old terminology, which means the industry has been around for a while and the products are somewhat mature. That said, innovation has constantly been the driving force behind the BI industry, and particularly as the amount of data has increased and the way in which business users have demanded, BI tools respond to the changing requirements of the market has driven BI tools tremendously forward. Obviously one simple way of thinking about BI tools is that they kind of started off natively from spreadsheets, which had some very simple visualization. So if the amount of data that you have is fairly limited, you can use your spreadsheets, Microsoft Excel being the traditional case, in itself as sort of like a BI tool. In many cases, for many users, thousands, millions of users around the world, spreadsheets are still the primary way by which they interact with their own, small business, data. Now, when the applications get a little more complex, people realized very early on that you had to go connect to dedicated databases, pull the summaries out of them, and then create spreadsheet-like reports, and then create other visualization tools, which created the standalone BI tools category. And probably the earliest tool in this category was Hyperion, which eventually ended up being bought by Oracle, in the late 90s. Was a fairly big exit in those days for many billions of dollars. And these tools have evolved. Microsoft is actually one of the biggest vendors in the BI category even today with their Power BI tools. They continue being still one of the more dominant players as they've bundled Power BI along with the Microsoft tools, both on a standalone basis. And now as they've themselves migrated more towards the cloud, Power BI is available to today over the cloud as well on Microsoft Azure. Now, increasingly in early 2000s timeframe, people realized that there is a need for a standalone BI tool that can be somewhat vendor agnostic and can be a front end across complex different database applications. And that's sort of what really made Tableau really popular. Tableau originally started off as a desktop application from which you could do very complex data visualization and data manipulation using SQL, and then visualize it using a very, very powerful set of front-end visualizing and graphing tools. But in the back end, they could connect to any database. You could connect to an IBM database, an Oracle database, an SAP database, or any data mart or data warehouse. Very soon, Tableau actually became sort of the de facto standard in the industry. To some sense, Tableau is still probably the most popular tool, maybe in the financial industry and some verticals. But there's been an evolution, obviously, in enterprise in the last 10 or so years, away from pure desktop applications to more of cloud and cloud-native applications. This has resulted in further changes in this technology. Vendors like Looker and ThoughtSpot are sort of the latest example of vendors in this category. Looker basically, essentially offered an entire SaaS offering for a BI tool. And they were one of the first successful vendors to offer a SaaS offering of BI. Google ended up buying them a few years ago. So Looker is now a Google company. Now, ThoughtSpot is yet another category of BI tool vendors. In BI, traditionally, you needed to know SQL And really, the more powerful, capabilities of a BI tool, while you could drag and drop and do a lot of the functions, the actual queries were written in SQL. So most of the business analysts and users of something like a BI tool needed to be fairly familiar with the syntax of SQL. And, the goal of tools like ThoughtSpot is to evolve beyond SQL and use natural language processing, NLP, and allow business users to type in the kinds of questions that they want to ask. And in the backend technology, they convert this NLP query automatically into something the equivalent of a SQL query, and therefore make the tools even more easier to use. Now, many other vendors, including Tableau and Looker, have tried to kind of come up with similar ideas. But ThoughtSpot, I think, is sort of the leader in this particular category of BI tool vendors. So as you can see, BI tools have evolved all the way from being simple spreadsheet front ends all the way to, today using natural language processing and being offered entirely as SaaS on the on cloud environments. And obviously, this means there's been a substantial amount of technology improvements that have happened underneath OLAP, Cube, streaming. These are several of the things that have been happening underneath. But externally, this is kind of how a user interacts, and these are the changes that an external user has had to, ask for and get BI tools today.
Now, you mentioned streaming and real-time applications. So I have a quick follow-up question. Do these types of applications also support business insights?
Yeah, so it's somewhat interesting. Traditionally, BI has always been for batch applications. You have all your enterprise data somewhere, and then the idea behind doing things like OLAP and Cube is simply because you take all your batch applications and then create actionable insights out of them. In most BI tools were actually meant for these kinds of applications, and they were built for this. But as time has gone on, business users have actually more and more migrated towards streaming and real-time applications. And the technology underpinnings for these, are somewhat different and, not necessarily constructed with the same kind of technology underpinnings as an OLAP cube. The streaming applications are actually foundationally a different type of a data model they use than an OLAP cube. There's been another category of applications that have been emerging, which are streaming frameworks, support some type of query mechanism in a streaming sense and allow you to create real-time dashboarding kind of capabilities. So the BI tools have had to evolve. That's one more area in which they are trying to address. There are some very specific streaming frameworks themselves, and then there are some query frameworks on top of those. Apache Druid is an example of it. Apache Spark itself is today one of the more popular streaming frameworks, but something like a Druid offers BI-like capabilities and BI-like front-ends on top of it. So this is an industry in which both the open source community and the enterprise software community has been continuing to innovate on. So the latest kind of category would be, I would say, supporting streaming applications, and on top of that, probably combining them with natural language processing. That's kind of where the industry is evolving to.
My second follow-up question is, if we talk about additional visualization and analytics software like Kibana and Grafana, I want to know, are they BI tools and where do they fit in this sort of enterprise tool puzzle?
Yeah, so it's another really good question. Of late, many people hear about many different open source applications. Two of the most common open source visualization applications are Kibana and Grafana. Kibana itself is part of the Elastic stack. It's open source, obviously, and there's a lot of innovation in the Kibana area. If you were to use the entire ELK stack, which is the Elastic Tools, Logstash, and Kibana, one could think of Kibana as being able to provide you with BI-like functionality if the underlying data store is Elastic. So if you used Elastic or Elasticsearch as the underlying tool database, then Kibana could be, you could think of Kibana as having all the support of a BI front end. Not only does it have all the relevant graphic tools, but it also has support for the query interfaces that are needed to support a full-fledged BI-like application. But again, Kibana can be used if all your data is organized in Elastic. Now, Grafana is another open source application. They have some common origins, Kibana and Grafana. Primarily has been used as a front end for a lot of time series applications. So if you look at modern applications performance management software, something like AppDynamics or Prometheus, it would be easy to take the data from those kinds of tools and push them into something like Grafana so that you can visualize your time series information using a Grafana front end. And, you know, again, Grafana today offers some very powerful SQL connectors and other types of backend connectors to many different data warehouses and databases. And you could almost kind of say with Grafana, you can actually build something akin to a BI application or a BI tool and use Grafana as the visualizer. Grafana, though, is more optimized for a lot of the time series visualizations, although they have a pretty vast and a wide variety of visual front ends today. So that's kind of where, you know, broadly speaking, Kibana and Grafana fit in. I wouldn't directly call Kibana and Grafana themselves as BI tools. They are more of what I would call visualization engines that can be part of a BI-like, you know, front end that you can create for your open source applications.
Now, if we take all of this and apply it to our solution, which is the cuneiform platform, it really benefits enterprises as a whole, but specifically the business users. Now, we've talked about this a bunch, but it ensures kind of three major things: data quality, end-to-end visibility, and process correctness. Now, these three things really help decision makers with operational efficiency, their regulatory compliance, and gaining actionable insights for better decision making. So Gangesh, we do not call our platform a BI tool, but it does in fact offer many similar benefits. Can you explain a little bit about what these are?
Yeah, our platform certainly is not a BI tool at all. We are more, you know, I would say, as you mentioned, we're a data quality tool that provides end-to-end visibility across applications. Now, we can take, you know, what we do have is a full-fledged, what we call a business rules engine, which is more general purpose than actually just querying your data. We can do very complex business transformations and you know, business querying, and can construct very you know, just about any kind of business rules that users have implemented on their side. We can actually, with a zero-code platform, enable the creation and implementation of such business rules. You know, one way to think of is that PeerNova is sort of the core data platform that an enterprise would use for end-to-end visibility. And then once they perform all their, you know, data quality, business rules enforcement, and their process correctness and timeliness enforcements on their data across these applications, we can either directly visualize them in cuneiform using our built-in visualizers, or we can export the data to you know, external you know, data sources or databases, and then they can hook a BI tool from there. Or in some cases, we directly hook to some BI front ends. For example, out of our platform, you can use Kibana and directly provide you know, some analytics, dashboarding, and reporting from Kibana. We also support Tableau. So we can export data from our platform into Tableau directly, and you can visualize the data in Tableau. So the idea here is that business users sometimes for data visualizations and dashboarding have their own you know, tools. They're very comfortable using something like Tableau because they're used to using it for a number of years across many different applications. And so when they use a platform like Cuneiform, they can continue using that same type of dashboarding, visualization, and reporting mechanism like Tableau. Or they can use a combination of some of the drill down and other capabilities that we have uniquely for providing root cause analysis across data quality and process correctness in our tool, and then take the results and again visualize them again in their own third-party visualizers like a Kibana, like a Tableau, what have you. So broadly speaking, if the user wanted, in some cases, business users want integrated functionality. They don't want to be jumping in and out of many tools, importing and exporting data from one tool to the other. A lot of it is fairly complex and at scale. And when you're talking about streaming and real-time applications, these get to be quite complex, the actual integrations. And so in some cases, they demand end-to-end functionality, full-fledged functionality in a single platform. So Cuneiform offers all those features and functions. Yet, if the users, on the other hand, are more comfortable using us more as a platform and want to continue connecting to the existing infrastructure that they have, we provide those capabilities as well. So in some senses, we can actually operate either as a complete platform or as a component, a key component of their full data pipelines. So that's kind of why we don't call ourselves directly a BI tool, because that's not what we really are. We are more of an end-to-end data quality platform, guaranteeing visibility, root cause analysis, and process correctness.
Gangesh, this is another really great conversation, or kind of a crash course on BI tools, if you will. I know this is going to help our listeners really learn more about BI and how our platform can achieve similar benefits. So thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Sonia. And again, if our users want to gain any more information on this, feel free to visit our website and ask for a demo of the Cuneiform platform. We are happy here to answer any questions our listeners have.
Absolutely. And another quick note, this week we actually launched the new PureNova website, and it has a whole look and feel to it that is brand new. You can easily navigate through all of our 6 solution pages and access our resources section, which has some really great supplemental content on all of our podcast episodes. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to our team, and you can also request a no commitment demo. So as always, thank you for listening to Digital Switch, where we provide deep dives into enterprise tools and topics surrounding data and digital transformation. You can find us, subscribe to us, and share us on your favorite podcast streaming service, digitalswitch.show, and recently on YouTube. You can also stay up to date on podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and all things PureNova at purenova.com and at PureNova Inc. on Twitter. So that's all from us, everyone. Have a great week and stay safe.